As one of America's largest financial services companies, Nationwide supports financial professionals with client-friendly resources and innovative solutions to help create greater retirement security for their clients. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Comments on negative rates and his comments on the future path for his central bank.
It's going to take a lot to sort out everything that they have done today, and we'll continue doing that with Brandon Brown from Mitsubishi UFJ and Joachim Fels from PIMCO in just a moment. You're listening to continuing coverage of the ECB decision and Mario Draghi's press conference on Bloomberg 1130 WBBR New York, Bloomberg 1200 WXKS Newton, WJM 94.5 HD2 Boston, Bloomberg 960 KNEW Oakland, KOSF 103.7 HD2 San Francisco, Bloomberg 99.1 WNEW FM Bowie, and WJZ 105.7 HD2 Catonsville, and, of course, around the world on satellite radio.
Before we get to Dr. Fels, Brendan Brown with two more questions, if we could. You've been so patient to listen to this historic moment. Here's a frontline academic dealing with nothing he learned at MIT or you learned with your esteemed career or what Joachim Fels learned at Morgan Stanley in PIMCO. It's original territory. Where does Draghi go from here?
Well, I think where Draghi goes from here will depend very much on the reaction from outside the ECB halls and how Germany and German political opinion responds to this and how eventually US and opinion elsewhere, because what we're seeing here is an assault, a currency market assault, although it hasn't been so successful within the last half hour. And secondly, we're seeing a massive protection program to help bail out for weak European banks, especially in Italy and I would imagine in Spain too. And thirdly, the corporate bond buying program, which is revolutionary in many ways, is another backdoor subsidization of European finance.
Well, that's a key point. And right now, Vidor Constancio is explaining the impact, as the ECB sees it, on banks of negative interest rates. Mario Draghi suggested that they had not seen a negative impact. We'll, of course, be monitoring the news conference and take you right back to it when we get something more on that. But, Brendan, just one quick last question. The ECB says there's no impact on banks, but they're doing the TLTROs. They cut the main refinance rate, all designed to help the banks.
Very much so, and it really is a puzzle as to how a flattening of a yield curve such as we've seen, together with the banks not passing on negative interest rates to our customers, will not hurt European bank profits. Right.
Brendan Brown, thank you so much for coming. I'm honored to have you here with your academics and your books on the challenges of the Euro Central Bank. This is what we like, folks. Olivier Blanchard, Brendan Brown, and then we get to go to Joachim Fels. To review, Joachim Fels has been an original thinker on Europe and on international monetary policy at Morgan Stanley and, of course, now with PIMCO. Joachim, wonderful to have you with us today. I must go just first to your thoughts on the immediacy of what Mario Draghi's doing.
Yeah, good morning, Tom. Well, I think this is huge, as Donald Trump would say. I think this is one for the modern textbooks on central banking because, you know, the ECB is really employing the entire conventional and unconventional toolkit here. So it's quantitative easing, it is rate cuts, including negative rates, but importantly, it's also credit easing, right? Venturing into buying private sector bonds, as Brendan just said, that's revolutionary. And, of course, they are giving a lot of funding at zero or even negative rates to the banks. But what I found remarkable is banks will be able to finance 30% of their entire loan book at zero or negative rates at the ECB for 4 years. So I think this is a big, big step.
Well, it's a big step because it's going to enable the banks to lend a lot more. But are there going to be borrowers?
Well, I think this is not so much about are there borrowers. I think this is about helping the banks to restore their net interest margins, helping bank profitability so that banks will be able and willing to lend more. So I think so far the problem has really been on the supply side of credit, not so much the demand side. And this is a big step in that direction.
I was struck, and this goes back, Joachim, to your thinking, not prediction, but your thinking about a core Europe versus many peripheral Europes and within the European experiment, to his careful language paying homage to the fear of inflation. What is the pressure on Frankfurt on a first-order condition from the Bundesbank, but in general from inflationistas within Europe?
Well, I think the interesting thing is, if you look at the ECB's inflation projections, they've lowered them. That was not surprising. But they're now telling us that they will still miss their target by the end of 2018. So they have inflation going up to 1.6% in 2 years' time, which means that there is a need to do more easing. And I think that the key question within Europe is whether or not German inflation, which is as low as euro area-wide inflation, will finally start to pick up. You need that relative price adjustment in Europe. The periphery needs to become more competitive, and that means German inflation will have to run above peripheral inflation. So far, that's not really the case. So I think we need to watch what will happen to German wages and prices going forward.
Well, with inflation very low, that should have a depressing effect on wage demands in Germany. What's it looking like?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think there is clear evidence that inflation expectations have shifted downward and that this has affected wage demands. But the labor market is very tight, and the German economy on a relative basis is doing well. So I would expect wage growth to accelerate in the next couple of years.
Mike, we see data here with the futures coming back, gold surging in the last 10 minutes, complete reversal back up to 1257. The euro 109.57 is almost round trip from euro weakness to euro strength within the confusion of what we hear out of the ECB press conference.
Much focus going into this, Joachim, on the rates that the ECB is charging. Now they're also increasing the amount of QE, another 20 billion euros a month. The impact of that in your estimation?
Well, buying more bonds, I think that will keep a lid on interest rates, on bond yields. This is supportive for peripheral bonds. We've already seen the Italy versus Bund spread narrowing. And so I think this continues to provide a cap for interest rates.
Joachim, Carl Weinberg has just been of such value to us at High Frequency Economics with his experience on South American workouts and, of course, his dire predictions for Japan and the challenges of Europe. Dr. Weinberg would like to know from Joachim Fels your expertise on that linkage of finance over to what banks actually can do. Are the banks in a position in Europe to affect what Mario Draghi wants? If they have the capital, can they actually lend it out?
Well, that's the key question. If they have the capital, they can lend it out. So I think the main constraint on lending in the past has been that they, you know, the regulators, which, you know, also sit at the ECB, the regulators at the ECB require them to have adequate capital. And that's been a constraint on lending. Now, what the ECB has done today will help bank profitability. So this should help the banks to build up some capital through making profits. I think that's the avenue how this will affect lending over the longer term.
Very quickly, we're seeing the yield curve flatten in Europe, German yields in particular. Why?
Well, we're in a negative interest rate world, so I think investors are reaching out for bonds that still yield positively, and you can only find them at the longer end of the yield curve. So I think this will keep pushing investors out the curve, and this will drag longer-dated yields lower and lower.
Our coverage this morning on economics, we began with Olivier Blanchard. With us now, Joachim Fels of PIMCO. We will continue with Mr. Fels. Right now, we continue with Mr. Wilson, who got an equity market gift from Mario Draghi this morning. Do you see in U.S. equities moves up?
Well, you're seeing it in the European banks that trade here, no question. You look at Deutsche Bank up 4.5%, ING up 4.5%, and then the Spanish banks, Santander, also up 4.5%, BBVA with a gain of more than 5% in early trading. So it's definitely showing up here, no question. Just a couple stocks beyond that. Valiant Pharmaceuticals up 3%. The drug maker reached a settlement with R&O Pharmacy, which is part of a drugstore network with ties to Valiant. And R&O was among the pharmacies cited in a short seller's October report that sent Valiant shares tumbling. Earnings out today from Dollar General. The stock's up 5.5%. The dollar store chain's fiscal fourth quarter profit beat analysts' highest estimate in a Bloomberg survey. Sales also surpassed projections, and Dollar General raised its quarterly dividend by 14% to 25 cents a share. Yahoo's up 1%. The web portal filled two board vacancies, bringing the number of directors to 9. Of course, Yahoo considering options to split up the company, which owns stakes in China's Alibaba Group holding in Yahoo Japan. One more quick one for you. Nuance Communications down 5.5%. The speech recognition software maker is buying back $500 million of stock from billionaire investor Carl Icahn, its largest shareholder. The repurchase will cut Icahn's holdings to about 11% from 20%.
David Wilson, thank you so much. We're with Joachim Fels. We will continue this discussion. Michael McKee looking at the nuanced headlines out of Frankfurt as well, with futures up 13, Dow futures up 93. The euro, round trip, weaker, now stronger, 109.67 on euro dollar.
Let's get caught up on world and national headlines now with Michael Barr.
Mike, Tom, thank you very much. It could be a very valuable memory stick. Germany's federal criminal police say the stick contains files on Islamic State fighters. Authorities believe the information is authentic. Britain's Sky News reports that on the border with Turkey and Syria, a former fighter gave them a memory stick containing 22,000 Islamic State files with fighters' real names, where they were from, telephone numbers, and even names of those who sponsored and recruited them. President Obama says Libya is a mess. President Obama, speaking to the Atlantic magazine, blamed lack of support from European and Gulf allies and longstanding tribal divisions within Libya. 5 years ago, the U.S. intervened in Libya to topple then-dictator Muammar Gaddafi. The second day of a public viewing for Nancy Reagan begins today. The body of the former First Lady lies in repose at the Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists. I'm Michael Barr. Mike, Tom?
Michael, thanks so much. It is an historic day for monetary economics. Mario Draghi in Europe. We'll do that next. Bloomberg Surveillance.
Market Drivers brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. This month, your Mercedes-Benz Tri-State dealers welcome spring with limited-time offers on select models like the sporty CLA and versatile GLA, each engineered and priced to move. Visit MBUSA.com today.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Interactive Brokers and CME Group. If you're looking for global futures contracts with low trading costs, look no further. Interactive Brokers is the industry leader. Learn more at interactivebrokers.com/CME Group. U.S. stock index futures are higher. They did a trim a rally as European Central Bank President Mario Draghi said he doesn't anticipate more rate cuts, though risk to the euro area growth outlook remained to the downside. We do check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P E-mini futures still up 9.5 points. Dow E-mini futures up 67 and NASDAQ E-mini futures up 26. The DAX in Germany is up 1%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32. The yield 1.90%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 9 cents to $38.20 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $3.70 to $12.61 an ounce. And the euro now at $1.1041, the yen 113.79. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Tom and Mike.
Karen Moscow, thank you very much. Well, here's where we are. The European Central Bank today cutting all three of its rates, the main refinance rate to zero, the deposit rate to negative 40 basis points. They increased QE by 20 billion euros a month, and they announced a new program of loans to banks, essentially letting banks borrow money for free, or the ECB may actually pay them to take money to try to lend it out. Since we've been gone, Mario Draghi's been taking more questions. He says the ECB expects substantially easier financing conditions because of this. There are very strong synergies, Draghi says, says, between all parts of
synergies.
The package.
Synergies.
And interestingly, he says that there was no real argument against taking the actions. He notes that the voting rotation had no impact on the discussions. Jens Weidmann from the Hawkish Bundesbank was not a voter this time, but Draghi says the overwhelming majority were in favor of the decisions. Today's outcome, he says, dispels doubts about their willingness to act.
It has been a most interesting day. Nice summary, Michael. Olivier Blanchard with us, and now Joachim Fels of PIMCO. Joachim Fels, when you look at this historical moment, I go back to Olivier Blanchard and the courage he had to say we must reflate and reflate now. 4% was the operative number. We are miles from that. Is there still an appropriate now or immediate future to reflating? Can Mario Draghi affect what Olivier Blanchard tried to suggest 4 and 5 years ago?
Well, at least he's trying his best. I think the power of monetary policy to reflate is obviously limited. There are all kinds of headwinds, falling inflation expectations, a very difficult global environment. And I think what we need eventually is support from fiscal policy. So I think Mario Draghi is doing the best he can, and he made a big step today. But in the end, if we really want to see successful reflation over the next few years, we need more support from governments, from fiscal policy. There are some encouraging signs on that front. Fiscal policy, for the first time in many years, is now becoming supportive in the U.S., in Japan, and also in Europe. But I think more should be done.
Well, all central bankers seem to feel that way, but we're not getting there. So I wonder, Mario said today, they can go lower if they need to, but how much lower can they go? In other words, has he's thrown the kitchen sink at it? Does he have much more left?
Well, I think central bankers are slightly moving away from the idea that they will push interest rates ever more negative. I think the reaction, the adverse reaction of bank stocks and equity markets and markets more broadly to the Bank of Japan announcement of negative interest rates, I think it has led to some rethinking. So the focus, and we see this in today's decision, the focus is now again much more on credit easing, supporting the banks, and also importantly venturing into buying private sector assets. So this was a big step from the ECB today, announcing that they buy corporate bonds.
Are they going to compete with PIMCO, with Scott Mather's corporate desk, to buy corporate paper in Europe? When you want to buy a Siemens piece, are you going to compete with Frankfurt?
Well, I think they will compete with private investors, yes. My expectation would be that they won't buy huge amounts. I think this is not so much about quantity. It's more about sending a signal that they are willing to buy private sector assets. And I just view it as a first step. If needed, eventually, if more is needed, I think eventually the ECB could even venture into buying equities. And so I just view this announcement of buying corporate bonds as one step in that direction. You can do much bigger quantities on equities than you can do on corporate bonds.
Question raised about that, though, and Mario Draghi says there will be a committee that will decide which corporate bonds to buy. More details will be announced later this afternoon in Frankfurt, but is there a risk that credit allocation becomes the ECB's job?
Yeah, I think you can put it this way. I wouldn't say it's a risk. I think if you go back in history, in the old days, in the really old days, central banks were lending to the private sector. They were discounting trade bills. So this is just going back to the roots where the central banks also lend to the private sector. And part of the reason for this is that the banks, for various reasons, are not really doing it.
What will this do to the currency? I and others call it the litmus paper of the system. Does this reaffirm not the drama of a currency war? Does it reaffirm stronger dollar, weaker everything else?
I'm not so sure about this. I think we have opened a new chapter. So this is not so much, today's move was not so much about pushing the currency lower. And I think the FX market got the message. We had a reversal. Initially, the euro weakened, but now it is stronger on the day. And I think this is because the market understands that the ECB's focus is now on credit easing. It is on supporting the banks. It's on supporting the corporate sector, the private sector. And so you could argue that this is actually euro supportive. So in a way, I think we're now in a new environment where it's no longer about currency wars. This is much more about focusing on easing domestic monetary conditions.
Jochen Pels from PIMCO, thank you for joining us today on this day when the ECB has, in the words of, I didn't say this, in the words of many people, thrown the kitchen sink at the economy in Europe, Tom.
Is this fun? Olivier Blanchard, Brendan Brown, Jochen Pels, that's pretty good. Stay with us. Bloomberg Surveillance.
We're counting you down to the opening bell, brought to you by the Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. The Grand Cherokee continues to raise the bar with its luxurious interior and legendary 4x4 capability. Drive one at your local Jeep dealer today.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, SiriusXM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Surveillance.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow, along with Tom Keene and Michael McKee, and the opening bell brought to you by SEI. Imagine when investment operations predictably respond to regulatory change. See how SEI's global operating platform can be your catalyst for business transformation at seic.com/imagine. U.S. Stocks are higher at the open. The S&P 500 is up 0.2%, or about 4 points now at 1992. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 0.1%, or 20 points to 17,019, and the NASDAQ up 0.25%, or 11 points to 46.85. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, the yield 1.88%, yield on the 2-year 0.91%. NYMEX crude oil down 2.2%, or 83 cents to $37.46 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4%, or $5.40 to $12.63 an ounce. The euro at $1.1037, and the yen is at 113.73. Tom and Mike.
Karen, thanks so much. Michael McKee, we're getting some interesting headlines. Draghi says ECB has averted disastrous deflation. We need stable, solid recovery to return to price stability. What else do you see?
He's clearly defending the ECB's program so far. He says it's what they've done today is the best answer to the question of whether central banks have any ammunition left.
Yes.
Of course, that just moves the question forward.
Well, we've got two guests to provide answers to the question forward. Kit Jukes will join us here in a bit. Right now, Christopher Wheeler has been such a great help with us on the reality of financiers and bankers to work within this original territory. Christopher Wheeler, to have you play macroeconomist, will these historic actions today allow Deutsche Bank or Santander to loan out more money to provide investment and create jobs?
Well, good morning or good afternoon from here. I guess the answer to that is in theory, and that's what obviously Draghi is playing on. That is exactly what they ought to be doing, because clearly if you have the option of placing your money overnight with the ECB at negative interest rates, so actually getting out into the hands of the customers who are paying you obviously a much higher yield, you want to be doing it. The question is, is the economy strong enough to support that?
Or is the banking system strong enough to support that? We heard from Jeff Staley this morning. He's not focused on loans. He's focused on operations. Is there an appetite in Europe to do more banking business?
Yeah, that's an interesting quote from Jeff Staley, because clearly we've talked, Tom, before about the problems of trying to get the bank's platforms in order, banks like obviously Deutsche Bank that you talked earlier. But I guess if we look at the banks that are really supplying, if you want, the economy in Europe, so the Italian regional banks and the Spanish banks, the German Sparkassen, the French mutual banks, for these guys, these are the guys who should be out there lending money. And while their systems aren't pristine, I think I would say, these guys have much simpler business models and therefore a better position to get out there and lend that money.
How far are the banks away from being reasonably healthy? There's been a lot of concern or commentary going into this that said whatever Draghi does gets partially mopped up by the fact that banks need more capital in Europe.
Well, I think it's a mixture. And what we have is some banks around the periphery, where, you know, around, as I said, the southern European countries, where we still have very, very high levels of non-performing loans. And so that's a grave concern. But on the other hand, we have, as I said, banks in those regions who are also pretty healthy, who can get out there and lend. You know, some of the bigger banks, the problem again is, you know, not so much getting their capital and leverage in order, because they've done a lot of work in that area. The problem is, and again, we keep talking about this, is actually, if you want, sharpening up the operational side of their business while we're going through actually periods where, you know, revenue generation is pretty dull, particularly around the capital market space.
I have been here, Mike, for what is it, 32 years, 37 years? Mike, you've been here for 54 years, is it?
Something
from
like
June?
That, yeah.
Here's a headline we've never seen. Draghi didn't really think or talk about helicopter money. I'm serious. That's the headline. Draghi didn't really think or talk about helicopter money. Every listener, Christopher Wheeler, knows that's an illogical idea. If you put a Sikorsky over any city capital in Europe and you dropped money from the helicopter, what would be the effect on your banking industry?
Well, yeah, that's a very good point, because what, you know, I'm trying to read some of the blogs that are coming through from the experts in fixed income, and I'm not one of those, maybe, is the concern, of course, about, you know, what happens when the music stops, because, you know, if this isn't enough, that's a major issue. The second thing is, you're going to start thinking ahead to say, how the heck do we unwind this situation and get back to some kind of normality? And, you know, that's going to be a big, big question, and it plays to your question about the Sikorsky.
Yeah. Well, they have kicked this can way, way down the road with four-year TLTROs. They're going to lend money to banks for 4 years to make up for the negative interest rates. So we don't have no idea what's going to happen between now and then.
Well, I think that's the point. The one thing you can see in his speech is the fact that he's saying it's going to stay low for an awful lot longer, and I think that's one of the big factors here. And as you say, they're kicking the can down the road 4 years, and you know, the worry is this is just going to drag on and on, and you know, it's now, you know, a long time since this crisis started.
Chris, my textbook would say you see bank combination transactions. You see, is there a template in Europe? I mean, I remember Fortis Bank in Belgium and all that. Do you just assume there will be mergers, or because of nationhood and culture, that's impossible?
Look, that's a very good question, Tom. We kick back to and fro. I think at the top end, the big banks, that's not going to happen. Just as in the United States, I see Mr. Kashkari has just called a conference on too big to fail up in Minneapolis. This thing will go on big banks. But if we go into the region there, if we go into Italy, we go into Spain, to an extent Portugal, I think we absolutely will see combinations of banks to try and deal with these issues. But it's not going to happen amongst the big players.
Banks getting a boost today in Europe. Deutsche Bank in Europe up 2.7%, SocGen 2.5%, UniCredit up 6.75%. Who's longer term going to be the biggest beneficiaries of what the ECB did today?
Okay, well, I suppose it's a bit of a mixture, really. I mean, the argument is that on the one side, you know, the additional QE, which he's putting on the table, and this long-dated lending facilities, then you're going to probably say the banks who've got the biggest element of net interest income on their balance sheet, in other words, the banks most exposed to the rate. On the other hand, you know, the problem you have is, you know, again, looking at how, you know, whether the very big banks are going to benefit most, because obviously they perhaps have less net interest income, and they're going to benefit from having higher levels of fee income, which protects them from, you know, the problem of negative interest rates. So it's really anybody's guess, but clearly, you know, the UniCredit move is telling you that the southern European banks are being favored by the market on the basis that this four-year facility is going to be very beneficial to them.
30 seconds. How have you amended your Deutsche Bank view, Christopher Wheeler?
I don't think I've amended it at all. I think they have so much on the table at the moment in terms of restructuring the business that actually looking at the fundamentals of, if you want, the flows of lending and you know, doing business at the moment is probably secondary to seeing, you know, the bank in a position where its operational, you know, platform is totally repaired.
Christopher Wheeler, thank you. Great update with Atlantic Equities and moving us forward with a great set of guests this morning. We'll synthesize all this with Kit Jukes here in a minute. If you're just joining us, we knew it would be interesting because we're a bunch of nerds, but it was extraordinary. There's just no other way to put it, Mike. The headlines speak of it, the whipsaw within the market, weak euro, strong euro, now euro strength 110.58, yields all over the place, gold all over the place, up $5 now, 12.62 the ounce. The Dow up 33 points, S&P up 4 points, the VIX 18.13.
Now let's check in with Michael Barr and get the latest world and national headlines. Michael.
Mike, Tom, thank you very much. Tonight, it's the Republicans' turn to debate. The four remaining presidential candidates will debate in Miami. It comes as Ted Cruz is hoping former presidential candidate Jeb Bush will throw his support behind him. Last night, Democratic presidential candidates Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders clashed in their debate on Univision. While they disagreed on several issues, they agreed about Donald Trump.
Trump was in the middle of the so-called Bertha movement, trying to delegitimize the president of the United States of America.
I called him out when he was calling Mexicans rapists, when he was engaging in rhetoric that I found deeply offensive. I said, basta.
Thousands of people already have been evacuated as a second round of rain hits an already inundated northern Louisiana. Flooding in some places is up to the rooftops. Three people have drowned in Oklahoma, Texas, and Louisiana. Germany could have some valuable information on the Islamic State group. The country's federal criminal police say they have files containing personal information on militants and believe that information to be authentic. According to Britain Sky News, the stick contains about 22,000 files with telephone numbers and real names of the Islamic State fighters. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists and more than 150 news bureaus from around the world. I'm Michael Barr. Mike, Tom.
And Michael, thanks so much. You got the job 40. Kit Jukes and asked to synthesize this historic day in monetary economics. Next, Bloomberg Surveillance.
Bloomberg Surveillance is brought to you by SCNB. The bank for business is on the move. Are you looking for the right banking partner? Go to scnb.com to learn more. Now open in Long Island City. Get your business moving with SCNB.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute? Resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. U.S. stocks are higher amid expanded stimulus measures from the European Central Bank. It was tempered by concern the moves may not be enough to counter a dim growth outlook for the region. We do check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg, and the S&P 500 is up 0.3% or 5 points to 1994. Dow Jones Industrial averaged up 0.25% or 43 points to 17,043. And the Nasdaq's up 0.4% or 18 points to 4,692. 10-year Treasury's up 1/32, the yield 1.87%. 7%, yield on the two-year, 0.90%. NYMEX crude oil down 2.3% or 88 cents to $37.43 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $8.10 to $12.65.40 an ounce. The euro, $1.1041, the yen, 113.72. Filings for U.S. unemployment benefits fell last week to the lowest level in 5 months. Jobless claims dropped by 18,000 to 259,000 in the week ending March 5th. Yahoo filled out its board, adding two independent directors at a time when the once dominant internet company is facing major strategic decisions and pressure from shareholders about how to salvage itself. Yahoo shares down 1.6% today. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Tom and Mike.
Karen Moscow, thank you very much. Well, here's where we are. The European Central Bank has thrown the kitchen sink at the European economy, cutting all three of their interest rates, including the deposit rate, to negative 40 basis points. They increased QE by 20 billion euros a month. They're introducing a new loan program, essentially allowing banks to borrow at almost no cost, or possibly even have the ECB pay them to borrow for 4 years. Not much more Mario Draghi could have done. And what has happened to the euro? It has gotten stronger, now 110.30. Kit Jukes is in charge of following the moves in the markets for Societe Generale, and he is with us now. Kit, for those of us not in the markets, a bit of a head-scratcher, the market reaction. A lot of people noting that Draghi said, we have done an enormous amount and maybe we won't have to do more, and that's enough to turn the markets around?
Yeah, at least the initial reaction sense of the market was he's thrown the kitchen sink at it, but he hasn't got another sink. There's no sinks in any other room in the house. And so we took the euro, I guess, 1.5% lower, and we held on to that for a bit, and now we've bounced back. In a sense, if this is the limit of where they can cut rates to, it's going to be hard for them to do much more on their own. The series of moves that they did look, on the surface, probably better for risk sentiment, better for equity markets. You know, they might be better for the S&P than they are for the euro at this point in time. They are going to put more money in. We are having the prospect dangled in front of us of them continuing to buy a wider range of assets if they need to do more of that over time. But what really took the euro down from the 120s down to this level a year ago was the move to negative rates. And while I think cutting rates further can help, they only cut them 10 basis points, and the hint that maybe they're done on that has definitely paused the market. So if euro dollar goes lower from here, it's going to go lower because the yield differential between the United States and Germany in particular will probably widen further, and that'll push money towards treasuries.
Right.
And it'll widen further. We'll do more if the Fed looks like raising rates in June, it's say, but it's going to be pretty slow from now.
Kit, we have to regroup from this, and part of regroup is expectations. He will manage them. All central banks will react to what Mr. Draghi has done today. But the only expectation I got is QE1, QE2, and on and on and on. Why will QE ever end?
Good question. I think QE either does something it hasn't done yet, which is, you know, QE so far as we can see, your side of the Atlantic, my side of the Atlantic, has done quite a lot to boost asset prices and very little to boost aggregate demand and to get growth happening. Now, central bankers will say we don't know what would have happened if they hadn't done it. But, you know, at some point, either we get some growth and we feel less need, or we turn around and we say, okay, we need plan B, and we haven't gotten that far. I mean, and I think that is, to my concern is, you know, if this is a law of diminishing returns from buying more and more assets, It's not obvious. Well, you know, the reason for it ending is, what's the point going on buying more and more? It puts more and more distortions into the global economy, and enough already. That would be the argument against it. I would rather they had cut rates more into negative territory and not bought more assets today, if my opinion.
They seem to feel that that would be difficult, that it would have an impact on banks.
It must do at some point, because if the banks don't pass negative rates on down the line, and, you know, imagine your checking account in your bank in New York costing you money every month, and how unhappy would you be? You can imagine that the first bank that does that and moves to negative rates is going to be pretty unpopular, and they might lose out. So no one wants to do it. So negative rates are a tax on the banking system at the same time as you're trying to get a benefit in terms of, say, a weaker currency. So, yeah, it's not going to be popular with, you know, the German banking industry, say, if you do it from the ECB. So there are limits. I'm not sure they're quite there yet, but that's what, you know, I think that's what the debate within the ECB was about.
But that's what we like to have you on, is the idea of limits. I mean, if it's calculus and we're limiting out to some point, did Mr. Draghi identify the vector, the glide path, where we hit that asymptote? I mean, I just don't see it.
I think he's telling us that, you know, in a sense, I mean, I would have said that he would have had more impact if he'd had more negative rates, but he couldn't get rates further, so he's doing more quantitative easing. Effectively, he's doing the easier thing to do because he feels, within the European Central Bank's governing council, that he's not got the support for putting the pain onto the banking sector. There's a big line where once banks start passing negative rates onto you and me, I suspect once one does, everybody else will do, and we'll grumble, but I'm not sure what else will happen, and then they'll find they have more ammunition. But for now, I think they, you know, really do think they are pretty much out of ammunition. I think that's the problem, and we'll come back on the currency market and say, unfortunately, to get the euro significantly weaker, you need the U.S. to do most of the heavy lifting. It's how many times does the Fed raise rates will be the big driver here. And he's limited on that. And equally, you know, if you send equity indices higher on the back of this buying because you've got an expectation of lower rates for even longer, that makes them more volatile because they're more vulnerable if anybody ever talks about this game ending, this game of musical chairs, because you know, the equity market is so disconnected from the earnings stream of the companies. So we're running out of room. Really, we're very close to it now.
As that sinks in, is this what we're going to see with the markets, the reaction that we've seen in the euro, the flattening in the European yield curves?
I think we'll continue to flatten the key yield curve as we say, all right, if we can't do much more, we've still got not enough credit growth and GDP growth of just over 1.5% at the moment, that people are going to look forwards and say, okay, I need to buy more duration, I need to buy more corporate bonds. I think you'll get money pushing out into riskier assets, looking for yield. And the whole thing could you know sort of drift down, and we may get more volatility in equity markets and less volatility in bond markets.
Here's a headline that came out at 9:43 a.m. This was made for Kit Jukes. ECB's euro at 111 this year, 112 next year, and 112 in 2018. Kit, if you made that prediction at SocGen, you'd be out of a job.
I'd be depressed, in a bar if that's what I thought was going to happen.
What is a wise one? What do you call on euro? Can you make some news here and amend your call this morning?
I think we will get to a point where the beneficiary of this is probably going to be the S&P. That will have a knock-on effect to the timing of the next Fed rate hike and expectations of it. I will get the euro down to 105 round about the back end of this year, but it's going to be quite slow. I'm going to find other currencies more interesting.
Kit Jukes, thanks so much for joining us.
This is a historic day.
Quite a day.
Amazing.
I have to say, of all the observations anybody has made today, the best came in a tweet from Alberto Gallo.
Very good. There's someone qualified.
Who noted that Mario Draghi was wearing the exact same tie today as he wore on the day he made the whatever it takes speech a couple of years ago. So take from that what you will.
Yeah, the market up 108, advances 17,100 on the Dow. S&P 500 over 2000, 2003, punch bowl full. Equities rise, and with it, risk on yields after a tumultuous, indeed historic morning. The 10-year yield, 1.90%. 2-year, now making a dash for 1%. We blow it out to 0.93 on the 2-year curve, flattening in the U.S. to show how odd things are. Oil sell, 37.70 on NYMEX. Don't want to make a big deal about that. Gold up $6. A euro, 110.26, up all 27 pips after being much weaker earlier. We need to give a major shout out to our European economic and government team for providing us with assistance today, particularly with the news flow out of Frankfurt, Germany. We are produced by YU Yen. Our global technical director is Kenneth Feliu. Stay tuned to Bloomberg Radio for much more on this historic ECB action. It's Bloomberg Surveillance.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.